good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers fans, hey, they beat the Dodgers last night.
Yes, they did. 5-4. Loving Devin Williams, man. Got out three of the best players in baseball.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We'll talk about that more later.
Paul Noonan will be here at 11:33 from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports at 11:50. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, top of the 11 o'clock hour. It will be Morgan Sweet from the Pabst Mansion. They have a capital campaign going on. The Pabst Mansion, of course, in downtown Milwaukee. It's fantastic. If you've never been there, I highly encourage you to go.
I've never been there.
You've never been to the Pabst?
To the theater.
To the mansion.
Never the mansion, I think.
We need a road trip, though.
Is that on Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. Never mind. Sorry. This was useless. There's so many things I haven't done, Jane.
That's all right. But going back to baseball, the Brewers and the Dodgers meeting up again this afternoon. You can listen to the game with a 12:35 broadcast start. Listen on WRCE. That's 107.7 FM, 1450 AM in Richland Center. You can also listen on WCQM, 98.3 FM in Park Falls. Brewers Dodgers, the broadcast starts today at 12:35. Wanted to start off, though, with apparently the sky is not falling, Greg Bach.
I don't know if I believe you, Jane. I've heard things on, I don't know if you heard of it, the internet.
I have.
They say that everything is on fire right now, and it's all bad. And guess what? It's all the bad man's fault in Washington.
It's all President Biden and Kamala Harris's fault.
Yeah.
This is what we heard last week.
Yeah.
When the stock market, it dropped about 1,000 points. And it was a big drop.
It was a big drop.
It was a big one-day drop. And then the next day, it started coming back.
Yes.
Isn't that funny how the stock market does that up and down thing?
It's almost like it has a mind of its own. Oh, no, it's controlled by humans. But it's almost like, I don't know, this seems to happen on a daily basis. It
Pretty
goes
much.
Up, it goes down. And I even was told once, and I never said this before, I was told once by a rabid conservative when I mentioned something about, like, well, what about the dip in, like, you know, 1,000 points? He goes, yes, because now there's, at the time, there was like 35,000. There's 35,000. And then it's going to go back up. 35,000, a 1,000-point drop or a 500-point drop on a 35,000-pointer isn't as big as 500 points in 1939 or 1929 or 1950 because it was so small.
Right.
Now, because it's so large, a drop like that is not great, but it corrects.
Well, and that's what I was seeing when we saw that drop, that it was a market correction.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, the stock market's been going gangbusters.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but since President Biden got into office when it had crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Crashed.
Yeah.
And it's done nothing but go up since then.
I mean, I looked at the numbers just from yesterday. The S&P 500 up almost 21 points. Dow up 243 points. NASDAQ up 5 points. And I don't like to assign blame or awards on the president. I think it's what the administration allows the business community to do. And obviously, this is a president who's very, very open and concerned about having good business. Now, there are bad actors, but the market has strictly shown that it is growing and doing well and creating jobs to the tune of 16 million in over 3 years. So the big conversation that's always happening is, well, if the economy's going so good, how come my pay doesn't go up? That's not the economy's job. That's your boss's job.
Well, and again, we can go back to greedflation. We can go back to shrinkflation, which is, as you said, these are companies doing these things.
Yes.
And instituting these things and making good money.
Oh, making great money. Well, you know, giving never the compliment to the government that their company is in. They're not saying we're doing so well thanks to
these policies.
No, they're just, if anything, they step back and allow all the blame to happen because it's always the economy sucks. Always the economy is terrible. That's what we hear all the time because no one has a real understand, and I don't have a, I'm not an economist, but I do understand what the indicators are, and the indicators all say that it is like amazing.
Yeah. Calvin?
Well, I wanted to go back to when Greg said, well, it has a mind of its own, and then said, well, actually it is controlled by people. And I think it actually is, does kind of have a mind of its own, because it's just, it's a representation of realities, but it's a reflection of individuals making decisions. Yeah. There's not anyone controlling
it. No, no, no. And you're absolutely right. I didn't mean to say there's like one guy in an office going up, his down.
His name is Frank.
His name is Frank. And he's okay. But it is a reflection of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of movements within, made by people within the economies and the stock market and just what's going on. It's all flows into one thing. And that takes, I mean, I don't want to say algorithm. That sounds like a very cheap term, but it's a reflection of what we're feeling essentially. So it is, yeah, I think it's like, it's reflective of the people. It's reflective of the will of, and, but we don't control it, but we do. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, to me, I mean, the stock market to me is just legalized gambling, because essentially you are betting.
Yeah.
You are betting whether or not this company is going to do well, or you're going to bet against this company and assume that it's not going to do well if you short stocks. Again, my knowledge of the inner workings of the stock market is very, very limited. But
yeah, but I'm glad you brought that up, because when you go to Vegas, you want to if you go to Vegas and you walk into Caesar's Palace, you want to trust that casino being a world famous professional casino by playing by the rules. And now, granted, the house always wins, but you also want to trust that they're not using loaded dice or
yes.
things like that. With stock markets, though, some guy in, I don't know, Orange County can just say, like, you know what, I'm going to short this stock today and redo the whole thing. So that's where it gets a little dicey to me, because people will say it's the stock market's a living, breathing thing. Not when some people are putting their finger on the pulse and saying, yeah, but I'm going to short orange juice this month. And then that makes something go wonky. And then all of a sudden we have a 500 point drop.
Well, and even think about it. I mean, the stock market can certainly be manipulated. We've seen that happen with what GameStop, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah, it's according to CNN, sales jumped across most categories last month, rising the most at car dealerships. By the way, J.D. Vance says the average price of a car now is $50,000. I'm not sure where he's shopping.
Oh, rich guy store.
I mean, yeah, there you can certainly easily buy a $50,000 car. I think you can still buy cars for under 30.
Oh, yes.
Right? That have wheels?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This likely reflects a rebound from the cyber attack on software systems dealerships used from earlier this summer. Those sales spiked 3.6% in July. Excluding that category, retail sales still up a strong 0.4% in July from June. Retail spending on electronics at grocery stores rose robustly last month, up by 1.6%. And 1.1% respectively. Americans also continue to go out to restaurants and bars at a healthy pace. Mm-hmm. According to CNN, the economy is maintaining an encouraging glide path down to a more normal state and a soft landing. That's Oren Klatchkin, financial market economist at Nationwide.
And something we didn't even bring up is the fact that inflation for the first time since 2021 is under 3%.
Yes.
2%, they said, is like the best place it can be. It doesn't, I've been trying to figure it out and understand it, but from what I can understand, 0% inflation is not the best thing. It slows down growth and it can make people want to raise interest rates. But a 2.9 inflation rate in this country post-pandemic is amazing. It's good. And I wish we could at least come together on that and celebrate it, saying that the economy is good, because it does benefit us all.
Oh, absolutely, Calvin.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's what's frustrating about the economy is I talked to my parents' friends who lean Republican or explicitly Republican, and they always talk about how expensive things are and blah, blah, blah. And then I look at them and I see their lifestyle that they're living since Biden went into office. You're still eating out as much as you always have. You still go on an international vacation every year. You purchased a new boat since Biden went into office. So where is this disconnect? How is the economy bad if you're still doing all of these things?
And you're still maintaining your lifestyle.
Yeah. And we also have to take into consideration, you know, the fact that it's been 4 years since the pandemic lockdown. in 4 years, prices are going to raise naturally anyways. So in that time, you had the pandemic, you had, what did they call it, when the supply chain problems, all of those things. And then what happened was companies were able to raise their prices, and they found out one thing. We're still going to buy it.
We would pay for it.
And
yeah,
we spoke to an economist months ago, and I asked him straight out, and I said, hey, do prices ever come down? He goes, usually not. But some companies are lowering prices around the country because they're getting seen as price gougers.
Because they are price gouging. Donald Trump had a little rally in North Carolina yesterday, which I understand from reports I saw this morning, they had to pay in advance because the Trump campaign has a bad reputation for not paying their bills.
Oh, God. They owe hundreds of thousands when they go
campaigning around the country. But yeah. Donald Trump yesterday, because he called it the Kamala crash last week. It was the Kamala crash. It was all because people are afraid that she's going to be elected and he's not. Yesterday's speech was supposed to be all about the economy. Calvin, let's play that clip real quick.
Now, this is a little bit different day because this isn't around. This is what talking about a thing called the economy. They wanted to do a speech on the economy. A lot of people are very devastated by what's happened with inflation and all of the other things. So we're doing this as a intellectual speech. You're all intellectuals today. Today we're doing it, and we're doing it right now, and it's very important. They say.
And then he said, well, they say it's really important. I'm not sure if it's really that important.
Yeah.
And then he didn't talk about anything about the economy.
No, this speech that happened yesterday was being marked as possibly a new turn. Why do we still do that? Why do we think, oh, this is going to be the speech?
He's actually going to be coherent.
When is he going to turn presidential? He never will.
No.
He's never been.
But he never will.
What a dunderhead.
Coming up, Abby Normal. Let's chat. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
Then you won't be angry.
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby someone. Abby who?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
I'm almost sure that was the name.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B. Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Any excuse to play a clip from Young Frankenstein, we will jump on.
It's Frankenstein,
sorry. And I was prompted to use this.
Yeah.
After J.D. Vance had a little appearance on Faux News' Laura Ingraham show. Calvin, do we have that clip ready to go? Oh, he'll give me 1 second. Yes, he was on, again, J.D. Vance, the Republican nominee for vice president, having some just really barnstormer appearances around the country. It's got tens and tens of people.
The best conversations.
The very best conversations. Talking to Laura Ingraham, and he knows suburban women, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
J.D. Vance downplaying the importance of reproductive rights to suburban women. Are we ready? Let's go.
Senator, one of my dear friends tonight said to me, well, all these suburban women, all they care about is abortion, and they don't understand that decision is with the states now. It's not banned nationally.
Yet.
Some people want it to be banned nationally. It's with the states. What do you say to suburban women out there who are marinating in this propaganda?
Well, first of all, I don't buy that, Laura. I think most suburban women care about the normal things that most Americans care about, right?
Reproductive rights, women's reproductive health care, That's not normal thing to worry about, Greg Bach.
Hey, ladies listening, what's the normal things you worry about? I'm curious
we
now.
We worry about grocery prices. And
your kids.
And our kids.
Because that's the only thing you should worry about.
Exactly. And that's where our whole focus should be.
Mm-hmm.
Also evidenced by yet another clip we have of J.D. Vance.
Oh, man.
Talking to some podcaster about after his wife delivered their baby. Let's play that clip, Kellen.
And you can sort of see the effect it has on him to be around them. Like, they spoil him. There's sort of all the classic stuff that grandparents do to grandchildren. But it makes him a much better human being to have exposure to his grandparents.
Well, I don't know.
And the evidence on this, by the way, is like super clear.
That's the whole purpose of the postmenopausal female in theory.
What? Wait a minute.
That's your purpose. I don't know if you heard that.
My whole purpose.
Yeah. So,
just to establish.
Yeah.
I'm a postmenopausal, childless, catless, dogless lady.
Yeah.
And I am missing my life's purpose to watch other people's children.
So Calvin and I got together around January this year. We're like, we need to sit down with Jane and have a talk. And we've been waiting a while, and we finally got around to it. This is more like an intervention to tell you really what we as men, Americans really, think your purpose is. And Mr. Jadavance really summed it up well. In two clips, what you should be worrying about.
Yeah.
The normal things.
The normal things, not reproductive health care, nothing. Don't confuse your lady brain.
Yes. And also, you haven't had children. We'll get back to that later. But now that you are postmenopausal, now your job is to simply, this is your last day here. You're going to go home, find people who have children, and you're going to look after them because that is your duty and your job. And guess what? It'll make you better.
Actually, I heard you and Pat Kreitlow talking about this earlier this morning. And so on the way out to Waukesha, I stopped at a couple houses and I just knocked on the door and I said, "Hi, I'm a postmenopausal, childless, catless, dogless lady, and I need to watch your small children, okay?"
Do you know what? If you knocked on someone's door and you said that, there's a 20% chance they would consider it. When I do it, cops every time. Every single time.
You know what, Greg? You're right. I'm not even going to go. I'll just turn everything over to you and Calvin from now on because I'll be at home churning butter.
I think I said to Pat this morning, you know, whichever rakes Eric Hovde misses, J.D. Vance gets the rest of them. Because this man seriously cannot go 3 days without something coming out about him just saying epically stupid things. These are epically stupid. I don't understand how people can say, well, of course. Of course he's right. Calvin, do you think he's right?
No. I mean, it wasn't Vance who said that, and it said this in the clip, but they hate the weird allegation, and then they say things like postmodern causal female. Like, what does that even mean?
It's the same thing that Jordan Peterson does to throw off the fact that he barely knows anything. When they speak in broad, big, technical terms with confidence.
Like socialist, communist, Marxist, liberal?
Yes, they put postmodern Marxist. What does that even mean? Well, if you don't know, why should I tell you? Because I asked you. They want to sound smarter than they are. They're not. They're not smart people. They're lucky people. But they just come off smart by learning some words they read halfway through a book.
Just out of curiosity, if any other postmenopausal, childless, catless, dogless ladies are out there, I would love to know what you worry about. What are the normal things that you're worried about? Normal things, ladies. Not like the right to control your own body or silly things like that. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. J.D. Vance agreeing with a podcast host that postmenopausal women, it's their role, essentially their only purpose, is to watch other people's children.
You know, when I say something dumb on this show, which is not often, I go home thinking about it for days and months, and like someone's going to dig it up and be like, "Greg, did you say this?" And I'd be like, "Yeah,
sorry." Oh, trust me, you're not alone with that.
But they say these things and then they walk away going, "We've done good. This will never come back to bite us in the tuchus." Calvin, they use that language because they want to sound smart. And they're not. They don't know what Marxism is, socialism. They don't even know. Spell postmenopausal for me. I dare you, bro.
855-752-4842. Any other useless postmenopausal women out there, or am I the only one? Can always join in the conversation. I'm all alone in my postmenopausalness.
We've disappointed Jack in Merrimack, by the way. He says, you missed the punchline from Young Frankenstein, and then he quotes the rest of it. We clipped it for where he needed to clip it, Jack.
Exactly, Jack. It was just an excuse to play. Let's play that one more time. It was just an excuse to play part of this clip.
Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
And you won't be angry?
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby who?
Abby Normal. I'm almost sure that was the name.
And Jack finishes it off. Are you saying I put an abnormal brain into a 7.5-foot-long, 54-inch-wide gorilla? Is that what you're telling me? Yes. All right, stay close. You have news coming up next. And then we're going to talk about California guy versus a Wisconsin woman. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For number one, California, here we come.
Right, good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We forgot to mention right before the news that the vice presidential debate between J.D. Vance and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is now set for CBS October 1st in New York City. Moderators will be Nora O'Donnell and CBS News Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
That is going to be amazing.
It should be good. I would love to see, and again, Tim Walz with decades of experience dealing with high school students.
Yeah.
He should be able to handle J.D. Vance. That seems like the right.
I mean, he's definitely dealt with smart kids, and this is a dumb adult, so it should be cakewalk.
It should be interesting.
Yeah.
And I believe we do have a debate set between Eric Hovde and Tammy Baldwin.
Ooh.
Or maybe I'm wrong. That has not been announced yet.
Okay.
But I did want to point out that Eric Hovde.
Yeah.
California guy. Lake sitting, axe throwing.
Don't forget.
Potential life coach.
Exactly.
Eric Hovde. Talking to the press yesterday, and he was asked about his wealth.
Yeah.
Let's play that clip from Eric Hovde, Calvin.
I'm not going to get into a bad question.
And why not?
Why would I? I'm successful. You know, in America, part of the American dream is to be successful, work hard. So I've worked my tail off. I've been a workaholic. I've taken an enormous amount of risk. And what have I done with my success? I've built homes all over the world, rescuing and saving children out of slavery, sex trafficking. It's amazing how you guys don't talk about that. If I was a Democrat, you'd be talking about that all the time. So, all the stuff I do here in Madison.
That clip is so amazing to me. It so compactly describes these guys lately, which is the question that we didn't hear at the very beginning was, what is your net worth? And that's when we heard he starts laughing. He says, I'm not going to tell you that. Now, I get that. In my house growing up, we didn't talk about money. We didn't talk about what parents made. But that's not what this is. And he's trying to string it as like, we don't talk about money here in Wisconsin. No, you are running for Senate, and you are an incredibly wealthy man. And you need to let us know where your interests lie, because as Pat Kreitlow said this morning, you're going to be writing tax policy if you win.
No kidding.
Yeah. So
he could like help write tax policies that would help him and other ultra wealthy people. Is that what you're saying?
You can bet on it.
Bank on it.
Dang it.
I mean, if you're going to go, you know, with the line from "We Got Nothing Else."
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Calvin, go ahead.
It's just the smugness.
Yes.
And then the Trump classic whining at the end. If I was a Democrat, you'd be talking all about that, but you never talk about the good things I do.
Well, I would be very curious to know more about the success that he has achieved with rescuing all these children from sex trafficking. I genuinely would be very interested if there's an actual journalist out there who would follow up on that. I think that would be fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like something you'd put in a campaign ad if it was true.
Was it
right?
Just what I was going to say. I
haven't seen it in a campaign ad.
Nope. Why wouldn't you bring attention to all this good that you have done that could work in your favor?
Completely agree. It's not been that. It's been surfacey ads and just platitudes to convince us that he's from Wisconsin. And a couple of things with that clip. I mean, I could talk about that clip for a half an hour, breaking down every 5 seconds, because the things he says are important. First of all, he laughs with that very uncomfortable laugh that J.D. Vance has. We saw with Jeb Bush. We've seen with so many politicians who don't know how to talk like normal human being.
And yet they call Kamala Harris's laugh weird.
Oh, yeah. But then when you watch him, he's laughing to get out of the question. And then someone else follows up and says, "Why not? Why won't you tell us?" That laugh melts, and he goes, "Why should I do that?" Because you're running for U.S. Senate, and you are expected to let us know your worth, your interests, all these things.
You're not some private citizen where we don't talk about money at the kitchen table. You, like you said, Greg, you're going to be representing all of Wisconsin.
Correct.
Shouldn't you be sharing that information?
Yeah, I mean, he's just following in the lead of the leaders of the party. Donald Trump didn't divest from any of his businesses when he was president of the United States.
First time in history.
Yep. He also didn't show his taxes because he's still under audit, remember?
Oh, right. Yeah.
He has made all of the, he has destroyed all of these norms that aren't laws. They are expectations of the candidate.
That's like the peaceful transfer of power.
Yeah. So Eric Hovde is just going to do it with Wisconsin nice, which you see isn't true, because the moment someone follows up to ask him the question, he melts into like frustration. Like, why would I tell you that? Also, I take hardcore issue with the term that he is a workaholic. He might work a lot, but he works hard at the job his daddy gave him. He takes risks on his family's money. There, as I said to Pat this morning, there are no bootstraps here.
No.
These were opportunities after opportunities from a man born into privilege and luck. He is not Wisconsin. He is a California millionaire who wants to. He's bored.
I think so, too. I think he's bored.
Yep.
I've been a successful businessman. Now what do I want to do?
What's next?
Senate would be kind of fun.
Hey, Ron
that
Johnson.
That might be fun.
Ron Johnson got way richer.
And I can influence tax policy and mm-hmm. do good things for myself and my buddies. And it's interesting to me, too, that he's all like, "I'm not going to tell you that." Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, according to a financial disclosure form that had to be filed, Hovde listed his assets between $195.4 million and $564.5 million.
If he gets elected and serves one term in Congress, he will double that. And if he gets two terms, he will be a billionaire. Period.
Easily.
And that's not the function of being a senator.
No, that was not supposed to be the job. And as far as I know, there are still efforts underway so that senators and House members can't trade stock.
Correct. And
which doesn't seem like a bad thing to restrict.
No. And that's the thing. It's like I not for a moment do I want anyone to think that I'm just picking on Eric Hovde. I sort of am. But this notion that sitting Congress members, sitting senators of right, left, independent can see internal documents that shows essentially insider trading.
Exactly.
And dump stocks, buy stocks, make money off of it. That is reprehensible to me, because serve your time. When you get done, You're going to serve on boards. You'll write a book. You'll go on television.
You'll become a lobbyist.
But this thing of like, you know, you're of the people. No, you're not. And that's all of them who do this. And there are people in California, Democrats in California. Nancy Pelosi is one who did this and got. But there are no laws in order or on deck to try to curb this, because why would they do that? It's like, why would they vote down their own raise?
Well, yeah, why would you vote down your own gravy train?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is the right wing media sphere loves to screech about Nancy Pelosi insider trading, but then they have nothing to say about anyone else.
No. Oh, exactly. Well, and again, we do try to call out Democrats.
Yeah.
Hello, Gold Bar Bob Menendez.
Yeah.
Because the other side, it seems to be, never calls out their bad actors until things are so bad.
And even
they simply can't avoid it anymore.
Well, if they also serve no power to them and serve no purpose.
True.
Because they were very much like, you know, let's get rid of George Santos. And within a week, they were like, oh, we messed up.
We need his vote. Yeah, exactly. 855-752-4842 if you'd like to join the conversation. Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. What's up?
Hey, guys. Joyful democracy warrior here and anti-Project 2025 guy. What I want to say is that, you know, when he says that he was stopping trafficking from going on, I think you're right. I think someone needs to do a little deep dive into that, because usually that means that either he was on Jeffrey Epstein's plane or he was trafficking in the opposite way. Not saving, but actually doing the opposite.
Well, we're not, Tom. I'm going to stop you right there. We're not going to get into that. And there is he does have a foundation. It's very well documented. He's done work overseas in Africa to build homes and to help the poor. I don't want to get into speculation on that at all. That's a heavy duty speculation, and I want to take him at his word that he has done work to help help the people in other countries.
I would. I agree, Tom. Sorry about that, Tom. But I just think that's a big stretch.
Yeah.
I would like to see more information about the work that he's done. And if there is work to be lauded, I think he should be lauded for that.
Yeah.
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
I just don't know enough about it, because I don't think we've seen any reporting, deep reporting on his foundation and the work of his foundation. They are going to debate. California Guy and Tammy Baldwin will be debating at WMTV in Madison. That's going to happen October 18th. Hovde has also agreed to take part in other debates on WISN and a Green Bay television station. So far, Tammy Baldwin has not signed on. And I did want to share one other good piece of economic news this morning on prescription drug prices that we know that Tammy Baldwin has been very supportive of. And we have a clip from Mika Brzezinski on Morning Joe this morning. Calvin, let's play that real quick.
Some news now. For the first time, Medicare has negotiated the cost of prescription drugs directly with drug manufacturers. This morning, the Biden administration is announcing new lower prices for some of the most expensive drugs out there, including major medications that manage diabetes, prevent strokes and blood clots. The discounted prices see a drop of up to 79%. The White House says the savings are so significant. If they had been in place last year, it would have saved Medicare $6 billion.
This is a good thing.
Yes.
This is a good thing for all of us.
Yes. And I cannot wait to see how they're going to have to ignore it. Right, because you can't spin this any other way. You can't spin it as like the Biden crime family's taking your pills and giving them you for cheaper. Ah, darn it. You know, like, I always want to know how the faux news and the Newsmaxes and the
how they're going to play it.
Oh yeah, yeah. How they're going to make it seem like
this is a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is a bad thing. I don't know that we can say this is a bad thing. And it's another little reminder that this was part of the Inflation Reduction Act.
Mm-hmm.
This new negotiating for lower drug prices.
Yeah.
Every single Republican voted against that
act. Oh yeah, yeah. But then they'll talk about like how we got this money from the Inflation Reduction Act that you voted against, Tom Tiffany.
Tom, and then they stand by bridges.
Yeah. Look at this bridge.
And look at this bridge. And look at this thing that's getting fixed in our community. Isn't that wonderful?
It's the best bridge.
But I didn't vote for it.
No.
Real quickly, we have Terry from Green Bay is on the line. Good morning, Terry. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Great show as always.
Thank you.
One of the things I'd like to point out that, you know, we're complaining about, you know, rich guys running for office and net worth of Eric Hovde and stuff like that. But we really should be passing laws that do not allow wealthy people to use their own money to support their own campaigns. They should adhere to the same campaign finance laws and restrictions that everyone else has when giving to a campaign. They should not be able to use their own personal wealth to buy themselves an elected seat. It needs to stop in this country. Mm. Like, I think over like 80% of like people in Congress are millionaires.
Yep.
Or very, very wealthy. So it needs to stop.
That's a great point, Terry. And well, then we could kiss Tim Michaels goodbye, because whoosh, he's gone, and Hovde's gone, and there'd be a whole bunch of them, but just bye-bye.
It's something Tom from LA brings up on the regular, is getting money out of politics. Yes. And there's got to be better ways of doing it. There got to be ways of doing it to level the playing field, to widen the scope for the voices out there.
They should all get the same amount of money depending upon what race you're running in. And then we'll have to see how good you are at making your own posters, because that's what you can do. Go with it. Run. Good luck.
What about sparkles on the posters?
You can have sparkles if you can afford them. All right. When we return, they want you to think Project 2025 is going away. It's not going away. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
If man is still alive, if woman can survive.
Well, not if you're postmenopausal, apparently.
That's not your job.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are going to lighten things up next hour. Morgan Sweet will be here after the 11 o'clock news. Yeah. The Pabst Mansion on Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Milwaukee has a capital campaign going on. It's a very, very old building.
Yes.
They're very hard to keep up and to maintain.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really a jewel. And I would hate to see this get torn down like so many of the other mansions that used to line Wisconsin Avenue. That happened to them over the decades. And then, as he does every other Thursday at this time, the Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan will be here, and we'll wrap up the show with a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. But we were just talking about California Guy versus Tammy Baldwin, and there was a text that we wanted to share.
Which one? We got a bunch of them.
Hovde's latest ad, which I've seen three times in the past 2 days, has his wife talking about how he was diagnosed with MS in his 20s. And it changed his life, so he started Hovde Homes to save abandoned kids and kids rescued from sex slavery. That's great. I wonder why someone who has MS wants to repeal Obamacare. Well, he's rich, and he'll have health care, but what about the rest of us?
Well, and also, I mean, I just saw this article come across. Apparently, he evicted a bunch of businesses, one of them being a vets-owned business helping vets. And if you are in the business of helping people, why does that not breed empathy within you to make sure that the policies you would pass in Washington would be to help poor people and underserved people and marginalized people? It just never makes sense. It just, those always seem like tax dodges to me. But what's funny is, really quick, is that that clip that we played from Eric Hovde came out, was released on the 14th, or was posted on the 14th. And then a press release that same day comes out saying Hovde's campaign new ads highlighting Eric's work through the Hovde Foundation. And they, in the past day, dropped 2 ads all about the work he did with the Hovde Foundation.
Well, that's good.
It's good, but also seems rather targeted that he would say it in an interview and now all of a sudden there are ads here. And
well, if he's not going to get the coverage from mainstream media and they're not going to cover it, then toot your own horn. That's what any campaign would do. I don't find that out of the ordinary.
I guess it just seems conveniently timed. And his thing of like, well, if I was a Democrat, you'd be talking about it all the time. Well, that's okay. Why don't you talk about it more? No one's stopping you.
Now he is.
You're rich.
Now he is. Karina from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Karina. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say?
You know, Greg, I'm with you there. And you know, guys, I'm coming from Russia, right?
Yep.
And in the 90s, there were a lot of donations and groups and foundation like this would come in and like, whoa, we're going to build this. We're going to build. We're going to do this. And then it's a half-build, a half-destroyed, money getting stolen, money donated for that is just so they can get a nice tax break for their own. I never understood why would you go outside of your country to help in those situations when you have kids here starving. Not enough money in the family to send them to school with the breakfast. Not enough money to have a good, appropriate living conditions. And you are, I'm not saying don't help anybody, but why don't you help your own people first?
Well, that's a thing. And thank you for calling, Karina. We appreciate that. I don't know what Eric Hovde's foundation does over there. A lot of times when these private groups go over there, it's about building homes and setting up water systems and making, but also religious ideology is
that plays
encapsulated
into it too.
In there.
Absolutely.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, there's a history of Americans going over to and Europeans going to African countries and bringing that sort of thing. We brought you a basket of food, also a Bible. So I don't know if he's a religious man. There might be a religious component, but that's just sort of the MO with the rich. They go to these underprivileged countries or these underserved countries or poor countries, and they do it. And good on them if they're doing it for the right reasons. But they also like to say, look what I did.
Well, and it's also, it's a good tax haven.
Yeah.
And again, if, you know, if he's doing wonderful charitable things in Madison, great. Tout him. Let's hear about him. That would be great. We're not going to not share those things if that information is available. Couple of minutes left. Project 2025, my friends, is not going away. Don't let them tell you differently. Now, there's new unearthed video of one of the Project 2025 leaders. His name is Russ Vogt. And he's talking to two guys who went undercover.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Donald Trump is trying to distance himself from Project 2025, but I'm not worried about that. He's been at our organization. He's raised money for our organization. He's very supportive of what we do.
Yeah.
So don't let them tell you otherwise that this is just a suggestion, because it's not. And Russ Vogt has also said that they are working right now on executive orders to be implemented the day or the day after if mm-hmm. Trump should get reelected, that they will put into effect. And they're still talking about deporting millions of people without explaining exactly what that's going to do. Oh, I don't know, to our farmers.
Yep.
To our food producers,
mm-hmm.
to our elderly facilities, waitresses and waiters. And it's amazing to me.
Don't worry, Americans will be there to take those jobs.
We're going to slide right in and go pick radishes.
And the other thing with regard to this whole, like, you know, trying to slide away from there, in this ProPublica article that will be on the notes here, they talk about the fact that there was sent to this writer 23 videos, 14 hours in all,
yes,
showing people talking about Project 2025, starring individuals from President Trump's campaign or cabinet.
Yeah. Or administration.
Administration. So these are people who worked with him on a daily basis or semi-daily basis, who was around him. He knew this is not, don't let him say, I don't know anything about it.
No, it's a lie.
He knows all about it.
We will keep talking about Project 2025 up until the election. Trust me. News is coming up next. And then again, when we return, we're going to learn more about the Pabst Mansion's capital campaign, what they're hoping to do. Paul Noonan with sports, Brittany Merlot with weather and wine. That's all on the way. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For what he never knew, now man's reign is through. But through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday.